It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. And I also wanted to mention that we're having a big potluck, with people are bringing sides and salads, and others are bringing desserts, and hamburgers and hot dogs and chips will be provided. So you're sure welcome to come to that. Even if you didn't bring anything, you come. There'll be plenty of food after the second service. So this verse is kind of talking about growing up in the faith and how we do that. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, to equip God's people for the work of the ministry, and then we're going to grow up in the faith. How many ever get on Facebook? Come on, admit it. Yeah. It's kind of fun to see these pictures of kids going to school. First day of school, and they have, first day, and you look at them and you think, wow, they've really grown since last year. It's like, whoa, that was little Joey, and now Joey's this big and he's going to second grade. And, I wonder what our picture would be like if God could take a picture of us spiritually. Would people look at that picture and say, wow, did Sam grow this year? Unbelievable, the changes in his attitudes and actions. He's becoming more like Jesus. He's growing up in the faith. I wonder what our picture would say to those who could see it. God's growth, or growth is God's will. And that's why I entitled this message, Growing Up in the Faith. Ephesians 4:14 says, we're not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every wind of doctrine. Every wind of teaching. In other words, you just don't fall for anything, or you will fall for anything if you're immature. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth, to speak the truth in love, and to grow up in every way into Christ. We're not to remain as children, but we're meant spiritually to grow up. And what's the perfect picture of maturity? Just look at Jesus, right? Jesus is the ultimate picture of spiritual, emotional, and intellectual maturity, to have the thoughts of Christ and to respond to others like he responded. Before we actually get into the subject of prayer during these 40 days, which is the main thing, really, for breakthroughs and for miracles and all that God wants to do in your life, it comes through prayer. This week, I want us to look at why we do what we're going to do the next 40 days so that you understand the reason behind it. You see, I think there are spiritual laws, or there are laws for spiritual growth that you cannot violate. And God is the God of order, and he makes things based on principles. And he designed the universe based on some principles like of physics, right? The physical laws like gravity and the second law of thermodynamics and a lot of other laws are what guide the universe and make the universe actually work. And just as there are physical laws that God invented for the universe, there are spiritual laws that God has invented for your life. And if you want to grow spiritually in your life, You have to cooperate with these laws. And the first law, you can just write this down if you're following the little outline. We grow when we feed on God's word. You know, the Bible is your soul food. You know. Now you know that you can't be physically healthy if you just eat junk food all the time, right? You can't be spiritually healthy unless you feed on the truth. Unless you feed on the word of God. What kind of health would you have if every Sunday you ate this, you know, giant Sunday brunch and you just gorged yourself with all this food and then the rest of the week you ate nothing? Well, it would harm your health. And it harms your health if all you get of spiritual truth is what you get on Sunday. That's not enough. You've got to eat a little bit every day. You've got to feed your soul. You know, not just once a week going to church. You've got to feed your soul a little bit every day, or your growth will be stunted. And you're not going to have the strength that you need in order to do what God wants you to do in your life. You know, Matthew 4:4, common verse. Jesus said, you know, man shall not live on bread alone. He's quoting Deuteronomy, his favorite book of the Bible. Man shall not live on bread alone. They need to have peanut butter and jelly too. No, it doesn't say that in Matthew, does it? You know, it says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds or comes out of the mouth of God. And that's what God wants you to do, to feed on it a little bit every day. We need to develop that habit, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Bible says, the word of his grace. That's the Bible. The word of his grace, which can what? Which can build you up and give you, now notice this, an inheritance among all those who are being sanctified. Or another version says, all the blessings that God has for his people. So we need to hear the word of God, read the word of God, study the word of God, meditate on the word of God, memorize the word of God, and apply the word of God. You know, if I had a hand here, I don't have time to go into all the verses that would back those statements up. But we need to hear the word of God. Hearing comes by faith, faith by the word of God. Study the word of God. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. You know, meditate on the word of God. Memorize the word of God. Apply the word of God. You know, if all you do is just hear the word of God, studies showed that we forget like 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. That's kind of depressing for a preacher. So by Wednesday, you're going to forget most of everything I've said today. Unless you write it down. But here's the action step we want to do for the 40 days. A daily time with God. For 40 days. I'm going to ask you for the next 40 days to spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, half an hour, whatever you've got, a little bit every day, where you're going to feed on the word of God. That's going to make you healthier. I guarantee it. The second law of spiritual growth, we grow when we learn in different ways. Let me explain this. You know, God made us all differently. We were talking about that during August. You know, because we all have different gifts, right? We're all unique. There's nobody in the world like you. You know, there never will be, never can be. Every, you know, even identical twins are different in thousands of different ways. You have a unique voice print. You have a unique eye print. You have a unique thumbprint, fingerprint, handprint, a unique footprint. You have a unique heartbeat, and you have a unique learning style. You learn differently than maybe the person next to you learns. And if you're going to grow, you've got to maybe learn in different ways. I mean, notice Luke chapter 3, verse 18. It says about John the Baptist, it says, and with many words, some versions say, and in many ways, John preached the good news to the people. We all learn in different ways. Some learn by listening. You know, instead of reading a book, they like to listen to a book in a car, right? Some learn by watching. They see things. Some learn by talking a lot. That'd be me, right? Some learn by doing. They're doers. They just need to get out and do it. What we're going to do during the 40 days is we're going to teach you on one truth, prayer. But we're going to teach it, you know, through the ear. You're going to hear sermons on it every week, 7 messages. You're going to learn it through the eye. You're going to watch 7 videos about it. You're going to learn it through the mouth. You're going to discuss it in a small group. You're going to read it in a daily devotional. You're going to do some projects with your small groups. It's like, you know, taking a nail, instead of just hitting it one time, you hit that nail four times. If all you do is come the next 40 days and listen to the sermons, you probably won't get much out of this 40 days. Because the sermons, the messages that I'm going to teach, the next seven messages, are only 10% really of the 40 days of prayer. We've got nine other things that we're doing, and most of them happen in a small group. And that's where you're going to learn all these, you know, maybe other different styles of learning rather than just through the ear. And we learn in different ways. Notice that even God understands this. I mean, he made you. You know, and in Job chapter 33, verse 14, it says, God speaks now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Another version says God speaks in different ways and we don't always recognize his voice. God speaks in different ways because people learn in different ways and we don't always recognize what's going on. I mean, how come, you know, how come people could be in church for 20 years and they're still cranky? I'm kind of looking in the mirror here. Self-centered, gossipy gossips, mean to people. And you don't feel like the gospel. You don't feel like the good news is actually penetrating hearts because nothing is changing. It's not changing them. I think, how in the world can they sit there and hear the truth week after week after week and it doesn't change them? They're still self-centered. A couple possibilities. Maybe their heart's hard, like Pharaoh's heart. And the more you hear the truth and don't respond to it, your heart gets harder, like a callus. Or maybe you're just not using the four different learning styles. You see, we grow when we learn in different ways, and figure out how you learn. The third law of spiritual growth, we grow when we develop spiritual habits. You know, I can't overestimate with you the importance of you building good habits in your life. If you build good habits in your life, really, you're going to have a good character. And if you have a good character, then you're going to have a great destiny. Your habits determine what you are. Your character is actually the sum total of your habits. You can't say, for instance, you know, I'm a kind person. You know, I have the character quality of kindness, unless you're always kind, unless you're habitually kind. You know, unless it's habitual to you. It's your habit to be kind. If you're only kind 25% of the time, you're not a kind person. You know, if you say, well, I've got integrity, you know, I'm honest. Well, if you're only honest 25% of the time, you don't have integrity. Integrity means that you are habitually honest. No, you're not perfect, but you're habitually honest. You are habitually doing the right thing. I mean, if I were to say to my wife, you know, babe, I will be faithful to you 28 days out of the month. Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Partial obedience is disobedience. I can't say I'm a faithful husband if I'm faithful most of the time. No, no. It has to be a habit in your life. How do you develop habits? Well, you develop them by repetition and by practice. John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says this, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do what? If you practice them, if you do them, if you practice them. Study after study shows it takes about 6 weeks, really, for you to develop a new habit. 6 weeks, you have to do something every day, and this is whether it's exercise or a diet or a spiritual habit or anything else. You've got to do it every day for 6 weeks before it actually becomes a habit, a holy habit in your life. Some of you have had holy habits in your past. I mean, do you remember when you first got saved? Just, that first love. And it's like you couldn't get enough out of the Bible and just wanting to be available to the Lord. You remember those days? And somehow the habits have dropped off. This is time, you know, these 40 days to go back to what God wants you to do. And he says, now that you know these things, you're going to be blessed if you practice them. What happens when you practice good habits, spiritual habits? You grow. I mean, look at Hebrews 5:14. It says, solid food is for mature people. Now, you know what I'm talking about here. Babies eat, you know, Gerber pablum, right? They eat baby food. When you're mature, you get to eat a steak. A baby can't eat a steak. It's not mature enough to eat a steak. He says, solid food is for the mature. You know, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. That is called a habit. Whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. And one of the reasons that we have a lot of problems, you know, in our lives is we often make bad decisions because we don't know which thing is right or wrong. We don't know what to do. And do I do this? Do I do that? Is this right? Is this wrong? And is this, you know, what's good? What's evil? And you just don't know. And how do you make wise decisions? You become spiritually mature. And then you know the difference. You know, don't do that. You know, the Treasury agents in America, when the United States government wants to teach Treasury agents how to identify counterfeit bills, they don't give them counterfeit bills to study at all. In fact, they will never, ever show an agent a counterfeit bill. They give them the real deal, you know, a real $100 bill, a real $50 bill, and then they say, study this, look at this, memorize this, meditate on this, think about it, immerse your life in it. Know it backwards and forwards, memorize what it looks like, and when you know the real deal, you know, when they see a counterfeit, they say, oh, that's a counterfeit. Say, how do you know? I could tell. I could tell in a second it's a counterfeit. Why? Because I know the real deal. Well, what about that? Well, that's a counterfeit too. How do you know? Because I know the real deal. I know the real deal. The problem why a lot of Christians get sidelined or bylined or confused because they don't know the real deal. Say, well, maybe that's okay. I'll just go and do that. Or maybe it's okay to believe this. And that's okay because they don't know the truth. And they don't know the real deal. And so people sell them counterfeit ideas, counterfeit thoughts all the time. And they don't know the difference. Why? Because they're not mature. And how do you get mature? Habits. Solid food for the mature whose minds have been trained by practice. You do it over and over again. Repetition and practice. You know, football season. Here it is. You know, everybody's talking about Carson Wentz, right? He didn't get to play, but they won. Tom Brady, though. I read something about Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady? He's probably the most successful NFL quarterback in history. And he's also, listen to this, he's probably the oldest player right now. He's the oldest player in the NFL. And he's the best. And how in the world does Tom Brady stay the best in the entire NFL? He has members on his team that weren't even born when he started playing football. How did he get to be so good? And this article, it had a list of all of Tom Brady's habits that he does every single day with extreme discipline that other people are not willing to do. Every day, the first thing he does when he gets up in the morning, he drinks 20 ounces of water. Every day, first thing he does, right off the bat. And there's a whole list of other things that he does, you know, to stay, you know, in peak mental, physical, emotional shape. And he's willing to pay the price, and he's developed the habits, and they paid off for him, and other people aren't willing to develop those habits. And he's still around being the best, even though he's the oldest. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to win a prize or a crown that won't last. But we practice to win a crown that will last forever in eternity. And the habits you build in your spiritual life are going to pay off forever and ever and ever and ever in eternity. And during 40 days of prayer, we're going to focus on four habits there on your outline. And the first habit is this, just meeting together for worship. You know, the large group worship, and that's what we're doing right now. And then there's that habit of the small group fellowship, and then the habit of daily time alone with God, where you know, you pray some, and then you talk to God, and you read the Bible, and you let him talk to you. And, you know, so notice, you got large group, small group, and then the personal time. That's three kinds of habits. And then there's the habit of memorizing the Word of God. These four, I think, will change your life more than any other thing in your life. All right, number four, the fourth law of spiritual growth. When we grow, we help each other grow. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity by yourself. It isn't going to happen. You cannot grow to be the person that God wants you to be by yourself. You need me. I need you. We need each other. God has wired us in such a way that nobody grows to maturity by themselves. You grow by yourself, you're going to be a lonely, stunted spiritual person that'll be kind of wimpy and weak and not mature. And the more you involve other people who are strong in the Lord in your life, we will grow together. It's relational. Spiritual growth is relational. I've said this before, we are better together. I believe that. Romans chapter 1, verse 12. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In other words, your faith is going to help me, and my faith is going to help you. And you have to have other people in your life, and God has just wired us this way. It's just the way it is. There's some, 56 one another's in the Bible? 56 commands that you cannot obey unless you're in a small group, like love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. You can't do it in a crowd like this. Serve one another, share with one another, build each other up, be there for each other, and on 56 times, God says the only way you grow is in relationship, is in community. The only way you grow is in relationships. And I tell you what, we need to be intentional about doing some one anothering, right? And the Bible says, you know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And in the body of Christ, one part can't say, I don't need you. You know, a hand severed from the body of Christ is worthless. It can't do anything. An eye, you know, plucked from the body of Christ can't see. An ear severed from the body of Christ can't hear. You have to be connected in order to grow. You have to be connected in the body of Christ to grow, because the number one thing God wants you to learn in life, the most important thing, really, that God wants you to learn, it's to learn how to love. That's the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the big deal, how to love God and how to love other people. You can't love other people, and you can't love in a cave. The very reason you don't want to be in a small group is the very reason you need to be in a small group. You know, there might be some people who disagree with me. There might be some people who are kind of irritable. Yeah, that's you. You're irritable. You need people in your life who sometimes think differently than you, that challenge your self-centeredness, that teach you to be giving and to think of other people. The most selfish person on earth is a baby, right? I. Me. It's all about me, and everybody exists for the baby's needs. It's only when that baby grows up to maturity that it can actually think about other people. Some people never grow up. They're stuck. It's all about me. It's my schedule, not your schedule. It's my needs, not your needs. You know, it's my problems, not your problems. It's my priorities, not your priorities. It's all about me, and we need each other. And we grow when we reach out to each other, and we're together in groups. We grow in community. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, some of that verse is out in our fellowship hall, on the wall, you know, so that everybody can see it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Let us not give up the habit. There's that word again, the habit. This is the habit of fellowship, the habit of meeting together. By the way, that verse is talking about small groups. Because in the Bible days, there were no church buildings. Are you kidding? There were no church buildings until Christianity for the first 300 years. 100% of the church was in homes, in small groups. And he's saying, let us not give up the habit of meeting together in these homes, as some are doing. Let us encourage one another. And all the more so, even the more so, as we see that day approaching. And here's the action step. Just write it down. You want to grow? Join a small group. Number five, and I can do this one real quick. The fifth law of spiritual growth is we grow and we expect to grow. And I call this the faith factor. And Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. It says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do you realize that God blesses your life according to your faith? That's what it seems to be saying. Whatever you believe him for, he says, that's what I'm going to bless. You realize that God says you get to choose how much I bless your life. You get to choose how much I use your life. You get to choose how much your life succeeds from God's point of view. According to your faith, it'll be done to you. So the question I ask, if you haven't even thought about it until now, is what are you going to expect to happen in your life the next 40 days? If you expect nothing to happen, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. According to your faith, it'll be done to you. I highly recommend you go home this afternoon and you just get alone in your prayer closet or wherever it is, and you set a goal, maybe a prayer request, something to say, you know, this is what I want to see God do in my life in the next 40 days. I want to be stronger in this area, or I want to see God move his movement in this area, or I want to see some kind of a breakthrough here. Because if you study scripture, you learn this: God does not move and bless you for your complaining. God is not moved by your moaning or by your griping and complaining. But God will move heaven and earth when he sees that you trust him. Every time God moves out of heaven and moves on earth, he does a miracle, I think, in somebody's life. Because somebody believed. I still believe God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. But there's so many verses about believing and trusting. If you want God to do something in your life, God, I want to grow the next 40 days, and I'm going to believe that I'm going to grow in the next 40 days. You know, what are you expecting to happen? You need to think about this. You need to get a goal. Don't waste the next 40 days. I mean, get a goal and say, God, I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting you to break through into my life. I'm expecting you to do this. I'm expecting you to work in my life. I'm expecting a miracle, a breakthrough. I'm expecting an answer. You need to start this 40 days of prayer with a spirit of faith. You know, I'm going to grow a lot in the next 40 days, okay? And then the last one, number six. The last law of growth. When we grow, we commit to grow. When we choose to grow, we intend to grow. You know, growth is a choice. Spiritual growth is not just automatic. You can grow older without growing up. It's not automatic. It's a choice. You must choose to grow. You must choose to do these holy habits. You must choose to make the effort. You make a choice. Let me ask you a very personal question. A year from today, how different do you intend to be? You know, what if they took a picture of you now, spiritually, and then a picture a year from now? What's that going to look like? Have you ever thought about that? Do you intend to be stronger or still stuck in the same problems you are in right now? You want to become more mature in the faith, you know? Or do you want to still be the way you are right now? It's your choice. It's your choice. A year from today, some of you are going to be much better people. You're going to be much stronger people, much more mature people. And others, you're going to be exactly the same. Stuck in the mud. Still walking around in diapers. Why? Because you've never intended to grow. You weren't willing to pay the price. The bottom line, just to be blunt, is you're as close to God as you choose to be. It's your choice. If you feel far from God, God has not moved. You're as close to God as, well, if my husband or my wife or my kids or my brother, my sister, my girlfriend. Stop blaming everybody else. You're as close to God as you want to be. It's a choice, and I tell you, growth is a choice. Some people, quite frankly, are not willing to make the effort and take the discipline and build the habits in order to grow. So do you really want to grow? If so, how badly do you want to grow? If so, what are you willing to do to grow? Are you willing to do these habits for the next 40 days? No? Then you're not really willing to grow. You don't really want to grow. What you want is convenience. See, here's what God says, and he puts it pretty bluntly in Jeremiah 29:13. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Another version says, you will find me when you get serious about finding me and want me more than anything else. When we say, God, I have to grow. I am tired of being a spiritual baby. I don't like being manipulated by my moods and by the opinions of everybody else. I don't like being a people pleaser. I don't like the fears and anxieties and the worries. And I don't like the depression. I don't like the problem I have with anger or with sex. And I don't like all these things. God, I want to grow up. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a man of God. Well, that's a choice. What's the action step? Write it down. Covenant with others. Covenant with others. In Nehemiah, you know, there was a revival at Watergate in Nehemiah, and there's a little description of an agreement in Nehemiah 9:38. In view of all this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing. And our leaders and Levites and our priests are affixing their seals to it. Sometimes it's nice to write your name down. I would encourage you, if you get one of these books, and you know, I'd say get a book whether you're in a small group or not, but I really encourage you to be in a small group. Just open it up and sign your name there. I signed my name right in the front as a commitment that I'm making for these 40 days. A covenant, you know, we grow faster when we make a decision with other people. And we do it in community. A covenant, it's easy. It's easier to change when other people are changing with you. You know, it's easier to go on a diet when other people go on a diet with you. It's easier to exercise when, you know, you've got a partner, that accountability. It's easier to grow when you make a covenant with other people to grow. And so that's kind of why it's kind of neat to do this all together as a church. Well, I don't know if I want to make a covenant with God. Well, why? You make covenants with everybody else. You know, you can't do anything in life without making commitments. I mean, think about it. You can't buy a car without signing a covenant, and I'm going to pay this off in 36 months, right? You can't rent a house or buy a house without making a covenant. Man, we just bought the family cabin. Can't believe how many papers we had to sign, and our mother-in-law had to sign. Unbelievable! You know, I'll make these payments every week. You can't get a job without making a covenant. You know, I covenant to be there and show up and actually do the work. You can't get married without making a covenant. Till death do us part. You can't do anything in life without a commitment. The caricature of immaturity is the guy or the gal who will not commit to anything. The fear of commitment is the ultimate example of immaturity. The only way you grow is by making commitments and growing into it. You say, well, I don't think I know what to do. Of course you don't know what to do. But you make a commitment and you grow into it. Some of you, when you got married, you said, let's have kids. You know, you made a commitment to be a parent. Did you know how to be a parent? No. I mean, not a single person knows how to be a parent before they're a parent. You just make the commitment and then you grow into it. I'm asking you to make a commitment to the most important thing in your life, and that is your spiritual growth. 40 days of prayer, I think, can really be just another starting point for you. And you can still sign up, small group and pick up a book and then sign your name to that book. When you study any revival, any renewal movement in history, it always starts with prayer. Always. And folks, our nation needs a spiritual revival. I mean, can we say amen? Come on, Pastor Ted, give me a big amen. That's right. That's right. It needs a spiritual revival, a renewal movement. Any renewal movement in history, it always starts with prayer. We need this renewal, refreshment, a fresh sense of joy. Amen? Don't you want a fresh sense of joy? A fresh sense of the presence of God. A fresh sense of what He wants to do in our lives. I believe it comes through prayer. You have to get in a small group. You've got to get into one for 6 weeks. Just do it for 6 weeks. Start one. You know, if you're not, you know, if you can't find a time that's that you're free, just start one. Get a couple other people. Go out for coffee and let's do this together. You can just have your own. Do it. The bottom line really is, what are you going to do for the next 6 weeks or 7 weeks? Do nothing? Miss out and watch everybody else grow and benefit and get the blessing? Or are you going to willing to step out of the up to the plate and develop some new habits which will determine the rest of your life, even rewards and eternal destiny? It's your choice. Let's pray. Father, I look out at these beautiful Calvary people. I love them. You love them. They're good people, Lord. Good people, Lord. We've been through a lot, through many years, ups and downs, highs and lows, grief, joy, lots of different experiences in life. And Lord, I do believe that our best days are ahead. I do, Lord. I re-up. I commit to moving myself first and everybody else to deeper levels of maturity and growth. Lord, we don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on what you have, you know, in store for us. We want all of the blessings if we will just do what you say to do. You say our lives will be blessed if we just trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Lord, I pray a blessing on every person within the sound of my voice as we go through these next 40 days, that we will go into it with anticipation, with expectation. You know, it'd be a waste of time for us to do this and not do it in faith. And so, God, I just want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life, Lord, in my marriage and in the lives of everybody here who chooses. God, we know that growth is a choice, and we pray that as we build these habits in our lives, we will become true men and women of God in a world that is filled with unstable, uncommitted people, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Give us a desire, God, to grow up in the faith. And I pray this blessing on our church, Lord, on Calvary United Methodist Church. I pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. And now as we gather the tithe and our offerings, Lord, and as different people come and put their little sticky note on the communion table, Lord, I just pray that it would reflect their commitment to serving you in this congregation. Lord, you appointed some to be prophets and apostles and teachers and preachers, Lord, and to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry so that we can be built up in the faith and grow up in Christ, in unity in Christ. And I pray that as each one of us serves in whatever area you call us to, Lord, this church would be blessed, more healthy, more solid for you, more in tune with the great commission and the great commandment. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.